Listen, Alex has got a few minutes free. He's in a studio in Toronto, and he'd like to talk to you on the phone. Do you fancy talking to him? Well, Wild Horses, of course, wouldn't have stopped Mark Jeeves interviewing one of his all-time heroes. So, in an exclusive to Planet Rock, let's listen to Alex Lifeson talking to our Mark Jeeves.
Thanks, Nicky. Regular listeners to my show will know that part of my life's mission is to get a Rush album into every UK home, and I'm joined in my mission today by someone who may well agree that it's a worthwhile way to pass my time. Alex Lifeson from Rush is on the phone. Welcome to Planet Rock, Alex.
Thank you so much, Mark. Keep up the good work.
I intend to fully. I think it's something we have to do. We've been playing Snakes and Arrows for a couple of weeks now, and one of my journalist colleagues described it as the album where you'd finally been let off the leash. Does it feel that way to you?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's always been an interesting dynamic in this band. Geddy and Neil have been such an active rhythm section for so long. I've always felt that it was important from the guitar standpoint to fill up as much space as I can. So I think I've sort of developed myself as more of a rhythm player than a lead player over the years. I think with this record, the guitar probably stands out perhaps more than it has in a while, but the songwriting seemed to take it in that direction, and I don't know, so much of it's being let off the leash a bit more is just a slightly different perspective in where the music's coming from.
As I understand it, you and Geddy locked yourself away in his house for a month or so to start the songwriting process.
Yeah, we started in March of last year, and we worked very casually a few days a week. And he's got a nice little cozy writing room in his house, and we worked a few days a week for 4 or 5 hours each of those days. So it was really nice and simple and easy. We could still maintain a fairly normal domestic life and have dinner with the family and all of that stuff, because usually, typically, with a Rush album, we lock ourselves away and we're gone for the whole week and home on the weekends, and we kind of work from 11 to 11 and you just get sucked into the whole machine. But we wanted to keep it quite simple and more casual than that. So we did that for about 5 weeks, and then Neil came into town and we spent a month in the studio going over the early material. Then we took the summer off, which again was a very unusual thing for us to do, and then picked it up in September and met with our co-producer Nick Raskulinitz, and then continued writing and working through the arrangements at that time. So
you've mentioned Nick there, the producer. It's the first time you've worked with him, I think, and he was able, when you work with a new producer, I guess there's always a kind of bit of trepidation to start with whether it's all going to work out, but it seems to have worked out very well, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It's very true. A lot of times you don't know what you're getting into with a producer, and it's such an intense situation to be in, particularly with songwriting. And we met with Nick in May of last year, so before the summer break, and he was so enthusiastic and he had such great credentials. It just seemed like it was the right thing then, even before we'd spent more than a couple of hours with him. And it really turned out to be. Nick has a history in Rush. He was 11 years old when he went to his first Rush concert, which was the first concert that he'd gone to, that his mother took him to in Knoxville, Tennessee. And he knew about the band. He knows our history, and he has his favorite lyrics and his favorite songs. So it was a personal thing with him, as it was with Rich Chickie, our engineer. So we had what we considered our dream team, and they really turned out to be that. They were they were wonderful to watch as they worked together on our material. It was a real joy to see that. They were very, very proud, and they were very excited about doing all of that.
Well, we're very excited about seeing you coming over in October. Last time we saw you in the UK, you brought Feedback with you, which was the album of your influences, your covers. And did recording those songs or revisiting those songs, do you think, have any influence on the direction that Snakes and Arrows took?
I think it did. You know, going back and listening to all those old songs by the Yardbirds and the Who, and you realize the great value in songwriting from that period, and how a great chorus will sell the song, and the whole structure of a song, and how they were such simple songs and so easily recorded and arranged, and left such an impact. And I think we carried that over with this with this record, and we wanted to make this a lot of fun, and we wanted it to be spontaneous, and we wanted it to be, you know, really exciting, with a lot of emphasis placed on the construction of the songs. We wrote the album acoustically, so I think when you do that, you have a voice and you have an acoustic instrument, and right away, if it works, it's going to work on anything, and if it doesn't work, it's not going to work on anything. And you have a much more immediate sense of direction when you work acoustically.
Now, as you probably know, this tour will be the 30th anniversary, the first time you played in the UK. You came over here 77. Your fans in the UK have been really loyal to you, haven't they? I mean, we do love you coming.
Truly, really. And, I mean, we came on the last tour, but we hadn't been there in 12 years before then. And I think on this last tour, we realized how important it is that we do get over on every tour. So we now make the effort to place coming over there as a priority. So
that's good news for us.
Full circle.
And after you came here in 77, you recorded a couple of records, didn't you? At Rockfield in Wales. What attracted you to work over here?
Well, it was so exciting for us to come to the UK in the first place on the first tour. I mean, for us, that was the origin of the music that we loved and that we grew up with, and it influenced us. So it was very exciting for us to come over there. Neil had worked in London, lived there for I think a year and a half or 2 years before returning to Canada and then joining the band, actually. So you know, a lot of his heart was in London. It was just so different. It was so great to be there, and we loved the studios, and we loved working with the people that worked in those studios and the history of the studios that we worked at. You know, we spent some time at Trident in London, which is gone now. Yeah, so it was a very exciting. I mean, we've made a lot of records in the UK, actually. We've mixed quite a few records in London, so we spent quite a bit of time there.
You must have a bit of an issue here. You've added now, from this album, another 13 songs to your back catalogue, which must make choosing your live set list for when you come to play to us here in the UK a particularly difficult job.
It always is a difficult job. And we're in the throes of it now. We're in our fourth week of band rehearsals, and we've got the sets pretty much figured out. You know, we wanted to keep it around 2.5 hours this time around. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll be able to keep it under 3. So, and that's the way it always seems to go. We are so excited about this new record. We're doing a lot of material from this new record. Actually, we're doing about 9 songs from Snakes and Arrows.
Yeah.
But we want to incorporate some older material that we've never played before, that we haven't played in a very, very long time. So I think there'll be some real surprises there.
I just want to ask you about one of the other albums we're playing on Planet Rock. It's by Porcupine Tree, the Fear of a Blank Planet album, of course. And there you are. You appear on there. That's a great record, isn't it?
It sure is. In fact, I have it sitting here in front of me. I just picked it up last night. I have to talk to Stephen about that. He didn't send me a copy. I had to get my own.
Well, you had to buy it?
Yes, I bought it, but I don't mind. I'm supporting my fellow musicians. But Paul Northfield, who'd worked with them and is an old friend of ours and worked with us many times, connected me with Stephen, and I'd known about the band, and we talked about doing some things, and they were going in the studio, and he wondered if I would consider playing on the record, and I said, yeah, I'd love to, and we managed to organize that, and now they're going to be here on Monday, here in Toronto, in fact, and I'm going to go down to the show, and I'll probably get up and play with them, so I'm really looking forward to that.
That's a fantastic treat for the audience there.
They're
as well.
Fabulous band. Such
oh,
a great band.
Absolutely. Yeah, Stephen Wilson was in here talking about it. It's great. I know you had a big, it was a big deal when you met Jimmy Page, for example, and now you've got this whole group of musicians who feel the same way about you. That must be a bit weird, actually, but it's nice, I guess.
Exactly. It's weird, but it's nice. It's a little embarrassing, but it's sweet at the same time.
We look forward to seeing you in October. Thank you so much for talking to us today. I know you've got a
my pleasure, Mark.
Schedule.
Thank you.
Nikki's going to play a track from the album. That'd be great if you could choose it. Is there a track from the album that you'd like to pick for us here, please?
Well, my current favorite from the album is Working Them Angels. There's something about it that is just so majestic and soaring. I just really, really like that one a lot.
Alex, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure. See you. Bye.